This podcast is actually a two-part series, and it's pulled from a live training I did on how to increase your occupancy and revenue in your short-term rental business. So this training is really tactical, it's to the point, and so if you're someone who is in the short-term rental space, or you're looking in the short-term rental space and you want to know exactly like where to list your property and how to increase your revenue every single month and at the same time increase your occupancy, like this is going to be a great podcast for you. And so it is so big that I broke into two different parts. So again, enjoy part one. And without further ado, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to the Everything Goes My Way podcast with your host, Logan Manzanettis.
What is going on, everybody? Happy Tuesday? Yes, Tuesday. Happy Tuesday night. Good to see everybody. See some beautiful faces on here. What's up, Nina? Mr. Tom Swan. We got my madre on here tonight. That's pretty cool. I haven't seen her on one of these trainings before. I guess I'll have to tell a little story about my madre, the reason why she's on here. Cool, guys. Thank you guys for hopping on here. If you guys are looking for the Airbnb short-term rentals at the Montoyas are here. This is what we're doing here today. We're talking a little bit about Airbnb short-term rentals, talking about increasing occupancy, increasing net cash flow at the end of every single month. And full transparency, the reason why I'm doing this is I'm actually doing this training for one of our properties. That one of our partners, Mike, is on here right now. For us, we have a property in New York, and they're managing it. And so I wanted to give them a training and not just do a half-ass training. So I'm just like, hey, here's exactly what we have done. Here's what's worked for us. And then they can use that and they can apply it to managing this Airbnb over in New York. So that is kind of the reason why we're doing this, but I figured that a lot of other people could benefit from this as well. And there's some really heavy hitters in here as well, like Tom Swan is on here, someone who does Airbnbs. And so when we get to the Q&A section of this, I'm sure there'll be lots of questions. And there's some other people on here who can offer some really good feedback in the chat. So I know Tom didn't sign up for this, but if you guys do have any like feedback as we go, as you guys have known, like I get through this. I have a presentation and I have things I want to hit. As far as questions, I'll answer all the questions at the end. But in the meantime, like there are some really smart people in here who do Airbnb. And so we definitely hit that chat up if you guys do have questions, and we'll get rocking and rolling here. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen and we'll get rocking and rolling. All righty. Everybody see the screen? You got a thumbs up? Cool. Okay, so how to increase occupancy and revenue for short-term rentals. So probably the biggest question I get after these trainings is, where can I get the recording at? And so I started doing this after last week, is I'm actually putting all these recordings in a training area. So this, you guys can get, like today, you guys can get access to the recording when it goes in there, which will be in there in a couple of days. But all the previous recordings of all the trainings I've done in the past, they're all inside here, inside the training area. And so it's at everythinggoesmyway.com/free gift. So you guys can type that in or screenshot whatever you need to do. And you can get access to the previous recordings. You get this recording, everything moving forward. So that's not something I will probably continue to do going forward. I was advised not to do that. But for right now, you guys can get access to all the trainings that I've previously done and this one, obviously at the end of this one. And again, the only thing I really ask for is, just give me some feedback on the podcast, on the YouTube. So subscribe to them, follow them, let me know what you guys think. Hopefully they're helpful, they're beneficial. Trainings like this are inspired from those podcasts and those YouTubes. Without further ado, if you guys want the recording, everythinggoesmyway.com/free gift. So let's go ahead and let's get into it. So who is this for? This is for entrepreneurs who want to create the highest net cash flow at the end of every single month with their rental. And so who am I? The reason why you guys are on here is because apparently you guys think I know something. I'm a cleaning business owner. We started this cleaning business about a little over 2 years ago. It is on pace to do about $500,000 this year. And then I'm also a real estate investor. We just crossed a $10 million assets that we own. And so that's a little bit who I am. And I'm going to share with you guys a little bit about this Airbnb thing. And so a portion of our portfolio is Airbnbs and short-term rentals. And so our whole short-term rental game started on March 12th, 2020. So if you guys are familiar with this day, it was 3 days before the world shut down. And so we launched our first Airbnb listing, and it was like the most incredible thing ever. We launched it, and I'm telling you, within an hour, we got our first reservation. 2 hours later, we got another ping, and we got another reservation. Within that first 72 hours, we had six reservations, and I was just like, holy shit, this is amazing. This is so easy. All we did was like put our property up on Airbnb. We put some photos on there. We put a description on there, put a headline on there. And all of a sudden we were getting money that was literally about to come to our bank account. And I was like, this is so cool. And then of course, 3 days later, we got the big announcement that everything stopped, shut down. And as quickly as those reservations were in our Airbnb account, they were vanished. They were gone immediately right afterwards. And so that was a crazy day. And so me and my wife, we sat there and we're like, what do we do? And for a brief second, we're like, did we make the right decision by putting this rental that we had as a short-term rental rather than as a long-term rental? And we're like, we got to go. We got to at least see what this thing can do. And so at that time, it was only on Airbnb. So then we listed it on Vrbo. We listed it on booking.com. We put it on Facebook. We put it on Craigslist. And lo and behold, once we got past that initial like first week or two of March, from April of 2020 all the way till December 31st of 2020, we had a 90% plus occupancy rate over that first year of us doing our Airbnb. And it was because we hustled, and a lot of the strategies that we talked about, I'm going to share with you guys today. So you guys, whether you guys are in a crisis mode or whether you're just getting started, like you can get your property occupied and start getting money coming in to get you momentum with this game. So what is my strategy? So my strategy is really simple, because we own all of our properties. Our number one goal is that we want to create the highest net cash flow at the end of every single month. That's our goal, right? And so I don't care if it's a long-term rental, I don't care if it's a short-term rental, I don't care if it's a mid-term rental, I don't care if it's sober housing, I don't care if it's assisted living, like whatever I think is the best strategy, the highest net cash flow, like that is the strategy I'm going to use. Now, in this specific training, I'm only going to share with you basically three types: long-term rental, which I'm not going to touch too much on, but mid-term and short-term strategies, okay? And so again, this comes anything from one night stays, to weekly stays, monthly stays, to 6 to 12 month stays. So we're going to talk about a couple things here. We're going to talk about listing locations, right? And so listing locations, these are all the different places that we've listed. Now, is there more? I'm sure there is. These are the ones that we've used, and the ones that if you're looking for maximum exposure for your short-term rental, these are all the places that you can list. You can obviously list on Airbnb. It's where we get 90% of our bookings is from Airbnb, okay? It's the main one. Vrbo, booking.com, a personal website, okay? Craigslist, Zillow, Furnish Finder, apartments.com, and Facebook Marketplace as well. So these are all the places that you actually can list your short-term rental. And the more places you list it, the more exposure you're gonna get. Now, as a side note to this, the more places you list it also comes with operational complexities, which means that if you have a booking on Craigslist and you have it for a week in December and you don't update it on your Airbnb and Vrbo and booking.com site, then all of a sudden you can get double bookings, which can create more of a cluster. So as a side note to this, with more exposure also means more operational complexity. So if you have one property, it's probably not going to be that difficult. But as you start to get into 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, 30 properties, it might not be as advantageous for you to list in multiple places. Okay. So I'm just saying that as a side note, because that's a reality. Like the more places you list it also means that you have to start blocking things off in other places as well. But these are all the places that you can list. Now, as far as your listings go, okay, so these listings apply to all these places I listed before. You're going to need a headline, you're going to need descriptions, you're going to need photos, you need amenities, number of guests, and property type, okay? These are going to be the same across all locations. Now, let's actually dive into these individually here. So, headlines, and I'm going to speak specifically to Airbnb because you're going to get 90% of your bookings through Airbnb. However, the same concepts I'm applying can be used in all these other places, but I'm going to talk specifically about Airbnb because it is where you're going to get the majority of your customers from. Okay. So with headlines in there, you're going to want to speak to the some of the things in there that as when someone's searching for the Airbnb that they that you can actually put in your search. So like for instance, like there's not a king bed option when you're searching on Airbnb. So how you can navigate that is you actually can put it in your listing. That's one of my favorite tips to do is put king bed in our headline of our property. Okay. Location. If you have a special location, like it's near the college or it's near downtown or it's near a stadium or it's near whatever people are attracted to, it's near a, it's on the mountain. These are all amazing things that will create traction when someone is searching for your Airbnb. And again, prize amenities. Again, if you have a pool, you have a jacuzzi, you have something in there that it's just like, it sets your property away, apart from other properties. Now, again, with the amenities, because you can search for amenities, that's not as valuable per se, but something like location and like king beds are like something that people really, really want that there's not a search option for. So headlines, descriptions. When you're doing your description for your property, you actually want to sell the vacation. Okay. And so like, you want to sell the story that somebody's coming to. So like what you're trying to do is you're trying to create a story for your perfect avatar. Now is every single person who comes, for example, to Bozeman, Montana, are they all coming to Yellowstone National Park? Are they all coming to ski at Big Sky Mountain? No, but a big portion of them are. And so we're selling the vacation of the Yellowstone. We're selling the vacation of coming to Big Sky. And when we're able to sell that vacation, like there's little things that spin off that people, they're like, oh, like I want a piece of that. Okay. And so that's what your description needs to do is sell the vacation. It's like telling the story of why your property is going to fit into their dreams and into their vacation. Okay. Now, again, if your property is like you need to understand your avatar, right? So maybe you're not selling a destination. Maybe you're selling workforce housing or like whatever it may be, but ideally you want to sell the vacation for that customer. Okay. So that's what your description does. The next thing is your photos. So the next thing we're talking about with photos is you want professional photos, or if you get really good at using your iPhone, you can take really good photos that look professional. And my wife, she's gotten really good at taking photos because we've done, I think we have 13 listings now that her photos look even better than some of the professional photos I've seen. So either you're really good with your iPhone, or if you're not, then actually hire a professional to come in and get professional grade photos. It makes a huge difference. Okay. Now, when you're listing on Airbnb, again, this can apply to all the other listings, but you're gonna have what's called your hero photos. Okay. So you want what I call your hero photos are your top five photos. And your number one photo you want to put as your cover photo. It's the thing that catches the visitor's eyes. It catches their attention and draws them in to want to click on your listing, at least click through more photos. Okay. Now, when they're clicking through more photos, the biggest mistake that some hosts make is that they post their pictures like they're going to their house. So they'll have their hero photo be the living room, and they'll take, and the next three photos will be of their living room, of the other shots in the living room. Big mistake. What you want is you want a photo of your, again, you want your hero photo, then you want a photo of your living room, you want a photo of bedroom, of the bathroom, and then if you have a prize amenity, that, like those are your top five photos, okay? So these are the things people care about. People care about like, what's the bathroom look like? What's the kitchen look like? What's the living room look like? What's the bedroom look like, right? At least the master bedroom. And then if you have a prize photo, like a pool or a jacuzzi, or you have a picture of the mountains, or your location, something like that, that'll be like your fifth photo. Okay. So Airbnb gives you five photos that I call your hero photos that when they're clicking on your listing, they see these five photos and then they can scroll for more photos. Okay. And then branding. So here's a cool little tip that I've learned is that if you have like Starbucks coffee that you offer or Folgers coffee or some sort of brand, then if you include those in your photo, you get automatically more trust because your pictures, you're not stealing is not the right word, but you're borrowing some of that branding from things that people already know. So like when you take a picture of your coffee bar and you include that at Starbucks or it's Folgers, all of a sudden there's inherent trust in there because you have that. If you, on your TV, for example, if you have the Netflix icon up or the YouTube TV icon up or the Hulu icon up and you take a picture of that, like there's inherent branding in that as well. And people, they trust those brands. And so when you associate yourself with those brands, they ultimately trust you more as a host. Okay. So those are like little things you can do with your photos that allow you to have somebody click in and see more of your photos. Okay. Next thing we're talking about is amenities. So again, if you have the pools, if you have the backyard, if you have like the ideal location, these are all things you want to put in your amenities, the king beds, irons, crock pots, like all the things that you have. So like all your cooking utensils, all your cooking, like if you have air fryers, everything that you possibly have, if you put them in your amenities, like people, you'd be surprised how many people actually look at those things. So the more things you have on there, and it'll give you some suggestions too on Airbnb. And so go ahead and spend the extra $100 and buy these little things, because you'd be surprised at how somebody will not book your property because there's not an iron or an iron board. Or here's actually what ends up happening is they'll book a property and then they'll get there and say, you don't have an iron board, and you have to go out and get it anyway. So the more of those things you can get ahead of time, the more likely that people will not say no to your property. But then also from a management standpoint, you don't have to go out and buy crock pots or irons or ironing boards and things like that. So as many amenities as you can possibly get, the better. Number of guests. So the more guests that you can serve, the more likelihood that the more valuable your property is, right? So if you have a property that can only house two people, well, you can only house two people. But if your property, that same property, you can figure out how to put another bed in there, then you can house four people. All of a sudden, the amount of prospects that can rent your home goes up. And so the more prospects that can rent your home, the more eyeballs are on it, the higher likelihood of you keeping your occupancy and producing more revenue at the end of the month is higher. So some examples that people do is they put twin beds in rooms. So if you guys ever have been to Airbnbs, you guys will sometimes have experienced this, that they will put two beds in the room to get another, to allow for more guests. There's people, like we've had people offer blow up mattresses or spare mattresses, or even have couches that turn into beds, right? But the more guests that you can accommodate, the more valuable your property becomes. So, and then property type. So if you actually will search on Airbnb, you guys will find out that the actual main headline is actually the property type. So this is, people actually care about this so much that Airbnb changed it so that like the headline that we talked about before, like it's actually a sub headline. The main headline is like, this is a guest suite. This is a full home. This is a condo. This is an apartment. This is an RV, right? So some of you guys might know that we actually own an RV that we rent out. Now it's rented out long-term. We don't do it on Airbnb yet, but it's something that we will probably do going into the springtime. But the property type is super important. Some people like the only stay in single family homes. Like they absolutely hate apartments. They don't want to stay in an apartment with somebody next door, or they don't want to stay in a mother-in-law suite, or they don't want to stay in a guest house that's attached. So these are all things that are super important when you're actually listing your property type. Okay. So that's when it comes to the listing of your property. Okay. So this is basically what people see. Now, the next thing that people care about obviously is the price. Okay. And so we're going to talk about base price. We're going to talk about minimum price. We're going to talk about cleaning fees. We're going to talk about seasonality pricing. We're talking about lead times, days of the week, events, and pricing software. So first thing let's talk about is base price. So how do you actually find your base price? So you'll find out on Airbnb, there's basically a couple things that it wants you to set. It wants you to set a base price and then a minimum price. And these are going to be super important things, super important numbers to set. And so how do you start with your base price is you literally use your market. You go on to Airbnb, you type in if your property can house two people or four people or six people, whatever it may be. And you're going to basically search in your market to see what a house like yours is going for. And again, the longer you do this, the more you search, like not only in the month of November, like it is right now, if you search December, January, February, March, April, you start to see that these prices will start to change, will start to adjust. And so your prices will adjust as we talked about the seasonality of your property as well. But you want to use your market and get a general idea. So like this property is renting for about $150 or $160, $170, whatever it may be. And that's how you find your base price is you literally do a model of what everybody else in your market is already doing. Okay, so that's how you get your base price. Now, the next thing we're talking about is how to get your minimum price. And so this is going to be, what is the minimum amount that you're going to rent your house out for every single night? Now, this is kind of more of a philosophical thing, so I'll tell you my philosophy. Other people might have different minimums, but I looked at like, what is my break even? So what is my break even is going to be like, what is my PITI? Because again, I own my properties. Now, if you're renting this as an arbitrage, then you're going to have your PITI is just going to be your rent payment, your utilities, your streaming services, your home protection, okay, and whatever else it costs you to hold this property every single month. That's going to happen regardless if you have guests or not. Okay, so you figure out that number. Let's say, for example, that this number is $3,000. Okay, so it's going to cost me $3,000 that I got to spend on my property regardless if people are in there or not. And so I take that number and I divide that by 30 days in the month. And so if that is my so if I break even is $100 a night, then that's basically the minimum that I want to rent my property for. Okay, now could you actually go lower than that? Because technically, maybe I have other nights of the week or other nights where I'm renting my property out for $150, $200, where I could even go below that $100. Yes, you could. But if you want to start with a minimum price, start with that $100 or whatever it is your break even, and then from there you can adjust it accordingly. Okay, but you need to know what your minimum price is. What is the lease that you actually will take for your property? Now, the reason why I think that's important is because the next thing we have is our cleaning fee. And if you set your cleaning fee right, then all your variable cost, so this accounts for all your variable costs, which is like your cleaning service means that like if you only have three cleans, well then you're only gonna get charged three times whatever your cleaning service costs, plus your laundry service, plus toiletries, TP, scrubbers, soap, paper towels, et cetera. Okay. And so what your cleaning fee needs to do is it needs to account for all these things. And so most people, when they think about cleaning fees, they only literally think about the cleaning service. So if I have a cleaning service that charges me $100 to turn over my property, most hosts, most landlords, most entrepreneurs, they will charge a $100 cleaning fee. And they wonder why they end up losing money when they do more and more turnovers every single month. It's because they don't account for the laundry service. They don't account for the toiletries. They don't account for the TP, the scrubbers, the soap, the paper towels. Everything else that isn't like everything else that you provide that you have to turn over every single time a guest comes and goes. And so you need to actually account for, well, how much is my laundry costing me for every turnover? How much is it costing me per person in TP and scrubbers and soap and paper towels? I need to get that number. And let's say it's more likely going to be an extra $50. So instead of charging $100, you need to charge $150 for your cleaning fee because $100 of that goes to the cleaning service, but the other $50 needs to go for everything else, plus maybe a little cushion that if something happens that you can account for extra TP, right? We have another TP, a TP raid on the stores, and all of a sudden the price of TP goes sky high, or whatever happens, right? Or maybe you have to bring another cleaning service in because something happened. You have to pay an extra $25 for a cleaning service. You got to try somebody new, okay? Or you need a discount for some reason. So these are all things that we put inside your cleaning fee. It allows you to keep your variable cost variable, and that way you actually can adjust your minimum base price, or excuse me, your minimum price down a lot lower because you know that your variable costs are taken care of on the cleaning fee. Okay. All right. And then seasonality. So seasonality is something that is really important, especially in most. Almost every single market has some sort of seasonality. Some of them are more drastic than others. But you always got to understand that different seasons, you're going to have different base prices, you're going to have different minimums. And so, again, when you go and you, if you're coming into a brand new market and you don't know exactly what these base prices are, these minimums are, go into your market, go search as a customer and look in the wintertime and see what the prices are. Go look in the summertime and see what the prices are. So as I was talking about before, our Airbnb in New York, like it's a huge difference in seasons between the prices. So like the base prices in the wintertime, like from October, November, December, January, February, March, and April is like $3,000. As we get into May, June, July, August, September, it's like $15,000 to $20,000. Like it's a big difference. And so when you understand the seasonalities, you need to adjust your base prices and your minimums accordingly. Okay. Lead times. Okay. So lead times are super important, especially dependent on what type of property you have, that you should have your prices be increased the further someone books out. So for example, if you have someone right now who's looking for the summertime, those prices should be 30, 40, 50, 60% higher than your base price, because they're booking so far out that you have the opportunity to, again, get the premium price for that. And then as we start to get closer, now property sales and booked, let's say you're now 3 months out, now the price starts to come back down to normal. And then as you get closer and closer, maybe within 2 months or 1 month, then also maybe it turns back to where maybe you're getting some sort of discount. It just depends on how big your property is. Now, the bigger properties, they tend to get booked out further in advance. And the smaller properties, they tend to have shorter lead times. And so this comes from a little bit of experience. It comes from a little bit of just owning properties. But again, the longer lead time you have, you should theoretically have your prices higher. And then as it gets closer, then your prices start to get lower and lower. Okay. So one thing that you can also do is you can have your calendar open versus closed. And so depending on, so again, from a consistent standpoint, like we like to have our studios have a closed calendar, and people can only book up to 2 months in advance. Okay. Because we realize that some, like those type of customers, they're last minute customers, and we're able to actually get higher prices because they're booking last minute rather than somebody who's looking in advance, then they would be, they might be getting a better deal because they're booking so far in the future. Now, I say this now because I'm going to share with you a little bit about a pricing software that allows us now that we can actually have our calendar open all the time. So now we can have those increased prices just be automated rather than us having to constantly look at it. But it's just a strategy you can have, a closed calendar versus open calendar. One other example of this, and the person I got this from is on this call, Tom Swan. We have Airbnbs in Arizona, and that's primarily where a lot of his Airbnbs are as well. And so we have the 2 weeks before the Super Bowl closed off. Okay. So right on the calendar, those weeks are closed off, and they will be closed off all the way up until the NFC and AFC championship games have been played. Because once those games have been played, that means the teams have then been set for the Super Bowl. And then at that moment, then all of the fans are going to start to, buy tickets for the Super Bowl, and then obviously they're going to want to get their accommodations. And so we're actually going to close our calendar off until those games have been decided, because those last 2 weeks, all of a sudden people, because there's only so much inventory, and because they want that those accommodations so bad, we're able to jack the prices up. And so that's another strategy to think about too, is understanding that if you have something like that, you want to have your calendar closed so you actually can get premium pricing versus it being open all the time. So hopefully that's like one example. There's other instances where that same psychology can play a role in. But understanding your lead times can be helpful for you getting the highest prices and also increase your occupancy. All right. Another thing we're talking about is day of week, right? So you can do weekday. So there's going to be different prices for weekday pricing versus weekend prices. I think inherently everybody understands this, but when you actually implement this in your strategy, you'd be surprised at how much of a difference a weekend versus a weekday can be, and how much that difference can be if you're, especially in slow season, that if you can actually get a pretty good weekend and get the premium price, it can make up for having some vacancy during the week. And then, of course, we talked about events a little bit. Sporting events are things that you need to make sure that you're paying attention to make sure your prices are set accordingly. There's conferences coming to town. You have concerts. You have holidays. These are all things to take into account for when it comes to your pricing. Okay. Now, pricing software. There is three main pricing softwares out there. Wheelhouse is one of them. Price Labs is the second one. And Beyond Pricing is the third one. Now, which one if you're looking at using, I think all three of these are great. I've never actually heard any bad things about any of them. We use Beyond Pricing, so I can't speak firsthand about Wheelhouse and Price Labs aside just from what I've heard. But a pricing software is so valuable because all those things I just talked to you about when it comes to understanding like day of week pricing, when it comes to understanding events, when it comes to understand lead times and seasonalities, like these are all things that you can actually put into your pricing software that you create automations that the software does it for you. And so you can create rules. And so instead of you having to constantly go in there and check to see, oh my gosh, like there's a concert coming to town. I didn't know the Kenny Chesney concert was coming to town. Oh, you know what? Our college team, they made the playoffs. Now we have a playoff game that wasn't on the schedule until on Sunday. Now there's we have a playoff game in 2 weeks, right? And so I don't want to constantly be paying attention to that because it's pricing software. It does it for us. Okay. And so that's really the value of using pricing software and the cost of it. Again, I can't speak for Wheelhouse or Price Labs, but Beyond Pricing, they just take 1% of whatever they bring in. So if they bring in $1,000, they get, what is that? $10. If they bring in $10,000, they get $100. It's like super, super cheap. So anyway, huge, huge proponent of pricing software. I really am. Yeah, so we use Beyond Pricing. Okay, so when we started in 2020, we were going through the season of, we just wanted to get bookings and we wanted to keep our occupancy as high as possible. And so we were looking for longer term stays. This was obviously during COVID. And so travel was way down, right? Travel was illegal for the most part in 2020, right? Like there was no traveling. You were, it was not okay to travel in 2020. And so we were looking for longer term stays with our Airbnbs. Then we got into 2021 and we made a decision. We want to go short term. I want to see what this looks like when we do one night stays, two night stays, three night stays. And so we went shorter term stays in all of 2021. In 2022, this year, we've just find out like, what is the best value? Like midterm stays, whether it be 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days, or somebody wants a bit longer term or somebody wants shorter term. Like we're just looking to maximize our cash flow at the end of every single month. So what is going to happen in 2023? Honestly, don't know. Right. But what I do know is that it's going to fall within one of these three buckets. It's either we're going to be more longer term, more shorter term, or more midterm. Right. And most likely it's going to be a combination of all three of those. And that's why it's important to understand these different strategies, because ultimately they all can work. It's just a matter of you as the host, as the owner of the property, or as the one who's controlling the property to say, here are all the strategies. What works best for me based on the market right now, based on the property I have, and based on what the market is telling me. Okay. And so I think that's the most important thing to understand is that everything is just a tool. It is your job to implement what tool is going to work the best. And a lot of these can be like, you could have a 1 or 2 night stay. And then right after that, you could have a 2 or 3 week stay. And then right after that, you could have another 1 or 2 night stay. And then after that, you could have a 3 or 4 month stay. And so as long as you can like not be pigeonholed into like, I have to do one night stays or I have to do long-term stays, you can see what is best for your property. You will win. Okay. In 2023. Okay, so let's talk about occupancy, okay? And so how do we keep our occupancy high? And one way we do that is through offering specific discounts, okay? And so we do through monthly discounts, multi-state discounts, perfect fit discounts, neighbor discounts, last minute discounts, low season prep, and I'll teach you guys a little bit about algorithm love. So monthly discounts. Understanding what is your monthly discount based on your peak season and off season? So in your peak season, what is your property going to make? Like what's ideal net for it? So like I said, like my goal is to make as much net cash flow as possible. So after all of expenses, that means the PITI, the toiletries, the cleaning fees, everything that's included, what is my net going to be? And so let's just say it's $1,000 a month of net. And we have the same property that the PITI and the utilities and the streaming software is all $3,000. Okay. And so let's say that it grossed $5,000 and there was another $1,000 and all those expenses I just talked about. And so we netted about $1,000. So what if somebody offered me $4,200 for the month and during peak season, right? And I think about that, I'm like, okay, so what would it cost me? Like what expenses would I get rid of if I did a monthly stay versus nightly stays? And then I look at all the cleaning fees I would have to turn over, all the toiletries. And like, I add those up and see, is that going to be less than, I guess it would be an extra $200 for them to stay there. And if it meets my $1,000 that I said that's my goal to net, then I'm going to go ahead and take that because not only am I going to net the same, but it's going to be for less work. Okay. So you got to understand, if you know what your monthly discount is during peak season, then all of a sudden you can market your property at like at $4,200 or $4,500. And like, that's your number. And if nobody takes it, it's fine. Who cares? Because at the same time, like, you're not stopping for that person. You're going to continue to play the one night, two night, three night, seven night, 14 day night stays. But when somebody asks you your monthly price and you put it out there, you'd be surprised that sometimes people are just like, yeah, like, here's $4,500 or here's $4,200. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. Right. And so it's a nice little bonus when you get that. Also know what is your off season. Okay. So in your off season, if somebody were to offer you $3,500, which will allow your property maybe to break even, like, is that good for you in that, in comparison to what you could do in the off season as running it as a, again, as more of a short-term rental. And so that's why you just got to know your numbers. What is your monthly discount for both your peak season and off season based on what your goal is for that period of time? Okay. Everyone should have a number.